The Golden State Warriors are the 2015 NBA champions. Their first title in 40 years.
For the first time since 1954, the Giants are world champions.
4 championships in the last 5 years. Yeah, I'd say it's today's golden days.
Just like the tombs in Egypt, soon as you see it, you'll be speechless. Golden, no job when we slide through. We gon' provide you with something to ride to. Golden, just like the tombs in Egypt, soon as you see it, you'll be speechless. Golden, no job when we slide through. We gon' provide you with something to ride to. Golden, golden, golden.
Bay's Golden Days, podcast number 27, Marcus Boucher, Harney Graywall, and we're back, but the Bay's Golden Days have been put on delay, but it's all right, Raider fans. The Raiders are back, just not back to where they need to be. The Raiders have officially been eliminated from the playoff race. They lost to the Texans this weekend, but don't worry, we're going to break down every game from the wild card weekend and get you everything, the ramifications, what's going to happen to these post-Raiders now, what's going forward towards the future, and of course, we're going to look ahead to the NFL division matchup week ahead, break it all down in straight cash, homie. Enough talking, let's just hop straight into it. Here's what happened in the NFL wild card weekend in 60 seconds.
The wild card weekend in 60 seconds. Here we go. Kicking things off in Houston, where Oakland has a problem, namely Connor Cook getting sacked and throwing interceptions.
That's my boy.
At least their run game was working.
Taken down from behind.
Hey, who needs J.J. Watt when the rest of the Texans defense is rocking? On to Seattle, where it was Thomas Rawls
for the touchdown.
Also, Paul Richardson, and Paul Richardson.
Did they trade for Odell Beckham?
Pittsburgh, or as it should be called, Browntown. I'm still workshopping that title. Maybe Belleville?
Makes it look so easy.
On second thought, let's just call Pittsburgh a town headed to the divisional round by leaps and bounds. To Green Bay with a stop in Miami, where at least we won't be hearing any stories about distractions affecting Giants receivers.
Beckham is open and can't hang on.
I don't know if Aaron Rodgers is Catholic, but he is great at saying Hail Mary.
Cobb, touchdown! Unbelievable!
Here's another for good measure. And another.
Touchdown, Cobb!
Hey, at least Eli Manning didn't throw any... never mind.
Intercepted by Randall.
So, has anyone caught Antonio Brown? Are we calling this the butt catch? And seriously, what's with Aaron Rodgers and the Hail Marys? Man, I love the playoffs.
Touchdown!
The playoffs are here, and Wild Card Weekend is officially in the bag. Last year, every single Wild Card team that went on the road won their games. This year, zero. Nada. Zippo. No Wild Card team won at all, which means we only have the division champions left. And let's look at the biggest storyline from the weekend. Go straight to that Sunday night game. It was the Giants, Packers, and the biggest thing leading into this week was the party in South Beach, getting lit with Trey Songz on a yacht. But man, looks like Odell Beckham left his talents in South Beach as that ship went sinking fast. Someone called it Titanic. Odell Beckham goes out there and puts on his worst game of his career. He said he wasn't bothered by all the distractions. Well, you went out there and only caught 4 passes for 28 yards and had 3 drops. That's the most drops he's ever had in his career. And I got some numbers for you. The wide receivers who were on the boat had 112 yards on 19 targets and only had a 43.9 passer rating when Eli was targeting them. When Eli was targeting wide receivers who were not on the boat, they had 114 yards, a touchdown on 8 targets, and a 105.8 passer rating. So Eli wasn't invited to the boat party, didn't get to take his shirt off. It still doesn't matter because I told you, this is Eli Manning in the playoffs. He threw for 299, wasn't getting too much help from his wide receivers, threw an interception. But get this, Eli Manning has still never won a playoff game outside of his Super Bowl run. I told you, I didn't have too much faith in his Giants team. They threw a lot of money on the defensive backfield, but where was the NYPD? Where was the New York pass defense? Were they on the yacht too? Because they obviously didn't show up as they got carved up by Aaron Rodgers. He threw for 362 yards and 4 touchdowns. Hail Mary Aaron Rodgers. You got to start calling him Aaron Shakur, Tupac Rodgers, whatever you want to name him, because he is the king of Hail Marys. He's got this team on a 7-game win streak now, and they are hot. Davante Adams had 8 catches, 125 yards, and a touchdown after taking over from Jordy Nelson, who left the game with a hip/rib injury. It has been announced that he has 2 fractured ribs, so we shall see if he's going to play in this upcoming game against the Cowboys. Of course, we'll get you that in the preview, but man, look at the Packers getting it done on all assets. We thought their defense was going to be their biggest liability. Clay Matthews had a strip sack on Eli Manning. He moves up to 5th all-time on playoff sack leader list. The Packers, they're playing hot. Rodgers got him on a 7-game win streak. He's throwing up Hail Marys, and they're getting an answer from the Lord above. Can anybody stop the way Aaron Rodgers is playing right now? They took care of the Giants easily, 38-13.
And he still has yet to throw an interception in the past 6 to 7 weeks, which is ridiculous because his TD ratio is amazing. This man is playing phenomenal, and nobody can stop him. And as you said, this NYPD, this high-paid defense, and he ripped them up after his first main wide receiver goes down with an injury. That shows you how good this man is, how lethal he is right now playing, because this Giants defense got lit up. After the first quarter, Aaron lit that Giants defense up. He started getting it going. The first quarter, it was really slow paced, didn't really get it going, trying to get the running game going. And then Aaron Rodgers took the game in his hands. And that Hail Mary, how does he do it? And how does that not get picked? Like, what are you doing on the defense when you know that is the only option? Do they not play Madden? Just put that shit in prevent.
They do play Madden because Damian Harris Snacks said that he's been playing Madden all week, getting ready for Aaron Rodgers. I guess they weren't defending against the Hail Mary passes, because we've seen it time and time again. Aaron Rodgers. And that's the thing. The Giants defense was actually playing pretty well in the first half, and it looked like we had a game. But there was too many seconds left on the clock, and Aaron Rodgers just launches a beauty. And that's the best thing. He puts so much air underneath the ball that he gives his wide receivers a chance to turn around and box out and go up for the ball while the DBs are just stuck, staring at it like it's a shooting star through the side. I mean, Aaron Rodgers has just been unbelievable. You've mentioned it, still hasn't thrown an interception on this 7-game win streak. During those 7 games, he's gone 167 for 240. That's 69% completion rate, damn near 70%. He's got over 2,000 yards, 19 touchdowns, and 0 interception. This man has been playing at an MVP caliber.
And honestly, the only pass that I saw in these previous weeks, especially this last week, the only pass that I saw from him that looked terrible was the Hail Mary, but he dropped it so perfect behind every single defender. Randall Cobb didn't even have to fight anybody for that ball. He literally just stood there, was like, oh, thank you. Just dropped right in his lap. I could have made that catch. That's what I'm saying. And he just knows how to do it. I guarantee you, they practice that multiple times. Like, you get in that one position near that left goalpost, and I'm just going to drop it right in you. That pass was perfect, that touch. And that just started out because, as you said, the Giants defense was playing very well. It was 6-7. Before that play, and then just like that, within an instant, going into the half, becomes an 8-point game. And that is where the tide completely turned, because then Aaron Rodgers got comfortable, because he was like, we're playing from above. He playing with the lead. You always got to trust in Aaron Rodgers, because he is going to seal it up for you. And when he is loose, everybody's loose on that team, because you know that he's the leader of that team, offense and defense. You know that he is their guy, and he will control this. And with the way he's playing, it's ridiculous. It's hard not to give him the MVP already just for these past 8 weeks.
Yeah, he's been playing unbelievable, and he even said they practice these plays. These aren't luck. We rolled out the pocket. We had the backside protection. I put enough air on the ball to give my wide receivers a chance. Randall Cobb came up huge, and he's going to have to come up huge if Jordy Nelson is going to be out continuously. That was one of Randall Cobb's best games stepping up, and then we got to give love to the Bay Boy, Davante Adams. Like we said, 8 catches, 125 yards. Putting in work, and just like that, the Packers are moving on to the NFC divisional round.
And one thing that I have to say, because this Giants defense played really well just only in that first half, because they were putting a lot of pressure on Aaron Rodgers, and he was just doing his Rodgers-esque stuff. How many times did he roll out, scramble, dodge a tackle, and then just launch it and find that open receiver and get that first down? It was crazy. He's just doing it, and this man can't be stopped. This upcoming matchup against the Cowboys is going to be a good one.
Yes, it should be a good one. Aaron Rodgers is looking unstoppable, but let's go ahead and move on to another quarterback in the NFC that has been looking unstoppable his first 5 years of his career. That's Russell Wilson. That's right. He has not only been to the playoffs every year, he has won a playoff game in each and every first of his 5 years. That's the most in quarterback history. He's got the most quarterback wins overall in the first 5 years of his career. He had a great game, throwing for 224 yards and 2 touchdowns. The Seattle Seahawks Seahawks have now won 10 straight playoff games at home. I told you, Lions fans, you lost 8 in a row leading up to this game. 9 in a row is now an NFL record for the most consecutive playoff losses. The Lions didn't even win a game outside this year. They were just in trouble the whole entire game. They went down quick, and Matthew Stafford, 205 yards, no touchdowns, cannot get anything going against a Legion of Boom, and it was the Seahawks offense that was surprising. Paul Richardson was out here looking like Odell Beckham, making one-handed catches left and right, and then Doug Baldwin, 11 catches, 104 yards, and he even stole a touchdown from Curse. He was grabbing anything in his vicinity, and then the big thing was getting that running game going. Thomas Rawls, the quote-unquote mini beast mode that has been supposed to take over Marshawn Lynch and be their number one running back, has been dealing with ankle injuries all year long. He had his best game of the season, 27 carries, 161 yards, and a touchdown, and the Seahawks ran straight through the Lions at home. The 12th man was up and hype. They won the game 26-6.
This game showed me something in Seattle that I haven't seen all year because Marshawn Lynch hasn't been there, is they relied on the running game these past few seasons to get them to the Super Bowl and be in these competitive games. They need a running attack because Russell Wilson, as good as he is scrambling and just making passes and not making mistakes, he needs some help. He can't do it with his arm by himself. He's not Aaron Rodgers or a Tom Brady-esque type player to get it done and throw for 300 on a daily. So for him, having Thomas Rawls, probably the best game of his career, 167 and just running all over them. They won the game. It started in the trenches. They held it, and Thomas Rawls just ran all over him. He made Russell Wilson's job so easy. And last week, I said for the Seahawks to dominate this game, they're going to need to get Jimmy Graham involved. Jimmy Graham was eaten when they were successful earlier in the year, and this man only had 3 catches because Thomas Rawls allowed them to open up their offense so wide, and it put the Lions starting from behind, and they needed Stafford to start airing it out. No running game is not going to work against the Legion of Boom, even without Earl Thomas.
The Seahawks had their best running game of the season. On the other hand, the Detroit Lions had to play Theo Riddick on IR before this game. Zach Zenner, who's been playing well, only ran 11 times for 34 yards, and they really couldn't get anything going on offense. This Legion of Boom defense that has been dealing with some injuries. Obviously, Earl Thomas is done for the year, but they still got Bobby Wagner, who leads the NFL in tackles. That guy's an animal. He's all over the field, and he'll have his hands full trying to match up with the running backs from Atlanta next week.
Yeah, him, Cam Chancellor, and Richard Sherman came out to play that game, and they were 3 out of the top 4 leading tacklers for the team, so it just showed that their defensive playmakers made plays. Cam Chancellor looked as healthy as I thought he was going to be. I didn't think he was going to be as healthy as he was because that man was moving quick, and he was laying the wood, too, and for him, he is the leader of that defense. I don't care about Richard Sherman or anybody. He is the true focal point, and I even heard it from other Seattle Seahawks players that they even listen to him. He is the voice for that defense, and he is the leader of that Legion of Boom, even though they are a group. But that man, with him in there healthy, it opens up everything for everybody because he's so smart, so talented that he can lead that Seattle Seahawks defense. And if that offense can get that rushing game, they're going to be a tough team to stop soon.
No doubt about it. We saw that with the previous Seahawks team that had success making it to the Super Bowl. Running the ball was their bread and butter. And if they can get that going with Thomas Rawls and potentially CJ Precise coming back in the future, they got a chance to make some noise in this postseason. But let's go ahead and look at a team that's been using the run game as their bread and butter all season long. I'm talking about the Pittsburgh Steelers, as they absolutely ran through the Miami Dolphins this weekend. They won the game 30-12 in the first playoff game that Ben Roethlisberger, Le'Veon Bell, and Antonio Brown have ever played together. Yes, that is a true fact. The big three have never played with each other in a playoff game. Le'Veon dealing with suspensions and injuries. Antonio Brown dealing with injuries. We finally got to saw the big three this weekend put in work, and it was Le'Veon Bell in his first ever playoff game. Had 29 carries, 167 yards, 2 touchdowns, breaking Franco Harris' Steelers franchise playoff record. Man, Le'Veon Bell was getting it done like he's been doing all season long since that suspension. Ben Roethlisberger had 197 yards. 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, but they were late interceptions. Didn't really cost him this game. He was connected with Antonio Brown early and often. 5 catches, 124 yards, 2 touchdowns. It seemed like by the time I turned this game on Sunday morning, made some breakfast, took a shit, Antonio Brown already had 2 touchdowns and the game was over. So, I mean, I don't know what the hell to talk to you about. Jay Ajayi, he was disappointing. I talked about early in the year when he ran for 204 yards and 2 touchdowns week 6 against the Steelers. Well, my big asterisk was that Ryan Shazier wasn't there. Ryan Shazier came out to play this weekend, had no shirt on,
was dealing with all the elements. He had a huge impact. He was left and right making tackles and once again had another interception. This Pittsburgh Steelers defense held Dolphins to only 12 points, but that's Matt Moore. I knew once Matt Moore went down 14 points, he wasn't going to put up 14 points and catch up to the Steelers, so this game was done early. The only mistake that I really see that the Steelers made was keeping Big Ben in the fourth quarter. He got taken down on a couple sacks, like I mentioned, through that interception, and actually got his ankle twisted up on the last play of the game. So now he was seen leaving the game with a walking boot. He said he should be fine. I've seen Big Ben play through plenty of injuries. They should be fine. But the big thing was the big three in the playoff games, and business was truly booming.
Completely agree with that fourth quarter comment, just because, as you said, first time in three seasons that their big three are healthy, and this is a crazy big three. This is probably the most explosive offensive weapons there are in the NFL that are working together, because these guys are all crazy. Antonio Brown, animal, can do everything that he wants on the outside. Nobody can actually stop him. You got to get lucky. He's got to be a bad baller. He just got to mess up. And Le'Veon Bell, every time I watch Le'Veon Bell, one thing I watch is how well he follows his blocks. This man is so patient. It reminds me of Frank Gore. Yes, sir, Niner fans. I said it. I know you guys all remember watching Frankie follow those blocks and never lose yards. And that's what Le'Veon does. And then he becomes a dual threat and ends up going on the outside and catching these balls. Big Ben only needed to air it out 18 times. And they got the win big time in the playoffs. That is crazy. This playoff weekend was nuts. So many blowouts, but this one I saw out of all the other ones. And if this continues, if they can stay healthy, because Big Ben, I guarantee he's going to play this week. And as you were saying last week, if Derek Carr can get there in the Super Bowl, just prop him up there like they always do for Big Ben. And you know that fool can take his hits, and he's going to stay in there. And you know that if he's not playing, you know it's bad. But these guys are too good. They're too explosive.
Yeah, too explosive, too experienced. Ben Roethlisberger now has the second most playoff wins behind Tom Brady of quarterbacks left in the playoffs this year. Big Ben and all that playoff experience now is joined by Le'Veon Bell, and they're looking like one of the most prolific offenses that Big Ben has had during his whole career, because when he was younger, it was all about that defense. They had Jerome Bettis, Hines Ward, of course, but now they truly are one of the most explosive, if not the most explosive offense in this system, and you named it, Le'Veon Bell, doing it receiving, doing it rushing the ball. He said he is the Steph Curry of the NFL. He is changing the game like Steph did with the three-point shot, and I think he's right. We're going to see more of the Le'Veon Bells. We're going to see more of David Johnsons. You're going to see more of the CJ Precises. We've seen it now with Ty Montgomery as well out of Stanford. These wide receiver running backs, it is a huge mismatch out of the backfield, and I really do think they're changing the game. It is a little bit of an evolution, and luckily for the Steelers, they are ahead of the curve, and with Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown, Ben Roethlisberger, business is booming. There's no stopping them.
And nobody even says this because they forgot about him because he's been out all year, but imagine if they had Martavius Bryant in their lineup, right? And that speed, because you know Big Ben can connect with that full on the deep balls. And so this just shows what the potential of the Steelers is, but as of right now, they are very dangerous. And I think this is the only real test for the Patriots if they end up facing each other throughout the playoffs, because they're the only team that can keep up offensively and defensively, because as you said, their defense is getting better, especially when they played them in week 6. They got all their players back. Lawrence Timmons had a great game, led them with tackles with 12, had a couple tackles for a loss. They just got it done on all assets. And Matt Moore, as you said, he's not an elite quarterback. He can't get it done without a rushing game. And I even said this last week. Ryan Tannehill, the only reason he was able to do so well and even get in the playoffs is because J.J. was running like a maniac those games. And Tannehill didn't even have to do anything. When you have the rushing game, it opens up everything. They're going to have to start stacking the box, get one-on-one coverage on the outside. It's simple, especially when you're an NFL quarterback. That's an easy pass to make. And Matt Moore did not play terrible. He's had almost 300 yards. But the one pick and the one TD, they had to start airing it out. There was no running game, and they just started losing it because Steelers went up big. They were up 26 at halftime, and I was surprised the Dolphins even got 6.
Yeah, they were up big, and then it was all playing catch-up, a lot of garbage time for Matt Moore, and all those turnovers. I think there was like 3 turnovers in less than 5 minutes for Matt Moore. Ryan Shazier with his pick. You mentioned it. Lauren Timmons had a huge day. Even Stephon Tuitt had a big day on the defensive line, and they tore up this offense, and it's just so many weapons. Even the rookie Artie Burns is playing well defensively, and we don't talk about Ladarius Green. We don't talk about Eli Rogers, but these are still role players that are a huge part of the offense for the Steelers, a big part of success. They're getting it done with all their players. This is the healthiest I've seen the Steelers besides the Ben Roethlisberger's ankle injury, but we all know Big Ben. We all know what he plays through, so I like the Steelers all the way through this road, through the AFC, but I don't want to give too much ahead for my Super Bowl pick, because with the Raiders out, I am rocking with the Steelers, but unfortunately, the Raiders are out. The season is over. The Raiders made the trip to Houston in the postseason. It just wasn't the trip to Houston for the Super Bowl that we were all hoping for. And let's be realistic, it was because Derek Carr wasn't playing. I tried to be optimistic for Connor Cook because this was his first start ever in a playoff game, the first rookie quarterback to ever get his first start in a playoff game. I was optimistic for the guy, but it's time to be realistic. Connor Cook looked like a rookie playing his first game in the playoffs on the road against the number one defense in the NFL. And let's get straight into it. There was a little bit of controversy. Even Damian Lillard was calling out Matt McGloin. We want the red rifle in. Connor Cook had one of the worst first halves ever. He was putting up a pass rating similar to Joe Webb and Tim Tebow. I mean, we could not get things going from the beginning. But let me go back to Matt McGloin. He was only suited up as an emergency quarterback. I listened to Greg Papa, and he said before the game, he was holding his shoulder, trying to wing throws. It looked like he was in pain. He could barely even throw the football. He was suited up as an emergency quarterback. And he was only suited up as an emergency quarterback because you know who was the third-string quarterback on the roster that day? Michael Crabtree, who left the game with a concussion. So the Raiders were really down to their last licks. They were down to their last piece of desperation, and that was starting a rookie quarterback in the playoffs on the road against the number one overall defense. Hey, I'm not too impressed by Texans overall, but the announcers kept saying they're the number one defense, so obviously they got to be the number one defense. Connor Cook, as I said, ended the game 18 for 45, 161 yards, a touchdown, and three interceptions. This now makes back-to-back games that the Raiders have turned the ball over three times. The Raiders never turned the ball over more than two times with Derek playing quarterback. Over the past two games, we have gone 4 for 27 on third down since Derek Carr has gone down. 2 for 16 this week, 2 for 11 last week. We couldn't get anything going. Connor Cook was a little inaccurate, I will admit it, had some high balls, but he also had some big drops. Michael Crabtree had a couple drops. Coop had a couple drops, so we really couldn't get anything going in rhythm. And from the beginning of the game, I was questioning Bill Musgrave's play call. The first three plays of the game were screen passes. Okay, Bill Musgrave, I understand. We want to get the ball in the hands of our playmakers, but three screen passes when you got nine people on the box, crowding the line of scrimmage, there's no reason why the first one was tipped by Jadeveon Clowney and the second one was chipped up by Jadeveon Clowney. And guess what? He intercepted because Jadeveon Clowney had one hell of a game because we weren't only missing Derek Carr this game. We were missing Donald Penn. That's right, our Pro Bowl left tackle who only let up one sack over the whole entire season. Of course, it was that sack that Derek got hurt on. And so you already know Donald Penn is just killing himself. He feels so bad about it. And then to miss his first game ever. Like, I'm serious. This is Donald Penn's first game ever. He said he's never missed a game since Pop Warner. And now he's in the playoffs and he misses his first career game ever. So we're down one Pro Bowl offensive lineman. Rodney Hudson ended up getting hurt this game. Down two Pro Bowl offensive linemen. So now we got backup left tackle Melnick Watson trying to match up with Jadeveon Clowney. John Feliciano trying to hold down the center position, call out blitz, call out audibles. So we just got so much inexperience on our offensive line against, once again, the number one defense in the NFL. So, I mean, all these things added up. Once again, the Raiders had eight penalties, 63 yards. That puts us, once again, finished as the top 10 in penalty teams in NFL history. I'm pretty sure Raiders have eight of those 10 spots of the top penalties teams over history. I mean, I just really don't know where to go from this game. We couldn't get it going running the ball. We only had 64 rushing yards. I mentioned it before, we were 8-2 on the season when we run the ball for over 100 yards, but with our quarterback hurt, they're loading the box. With two of our best offensive linemen hurt, they were loading the box and really were doing anything they can to just get to Connor Cook, not let him get in the flow. And really, we gave this game away to the Texans. I mean, the first 10 points of the game, we literally handed them the points. I mean, Marquette King set a record for punting the ball 10 times, most he's punted all year. But I don't know if he's hanging out with Kim Kardashian this weekend or what, because he was not punting it too well. He probably had his worst punt of the season, and he set up the Texans at their own 40-yard line. And then the Texans go 3-and-out and kick a field goal. I don't think I've ever seen that before, a 3-and-out that results in 3 points. All of a sudden, they go up 3 points, and I mentioned it. That second drive of the game, Connor Cook, more and more screen passes. Clowney with that mismatch against Melnick Watson was tipping everything. He had that tip drill up to himself, almost broke to a house, luckily got tackled, and that set up at the 10-yard line. One play, Lamar Miller touchdown. So they got 10 points off of one play That's it. Nothing more. I don't know how to put words on that. It's pretty embarrassing. The Raiders got to win the turnover margin. The Texans leading into this game were outscored the most. They had the worst point differential in the game, and the Raiders had the highest turnover differential, but we couldn't make any turnovers. Malcolm Smith dropped two interceptions this game. We couldn't get anything going, but Connor Cook tried to bring us back in this game, and it was after Jalen Richard's big punt return, 37 yards. He really was one of the highlights today. Jalen Richard could be a focal point of our offense next year with Latavius Murray's free agency coming up. He gave the Raiders the best field possession today with a 37-yard punt return, and then Latavius Murray gets his first ever postseason touchdown. He gets us back on track, and when he's down 10-7, next thing you know, the Texans respond with their best drive so far of the game. Brock Osweiler was kind of picking us apart, which says something about Ken Norton and our defensive coordinator. They get a field goal and go up 13-7, but then the inconsistencies continue as Connor Cook is missing throws. Crabtree's got a couple of drops, and we just can't get the offense going. I mean, I told you, the first half, we were 0-7 on third down. Connor Cook was 4-11 with 41 yards, and Amari Cooper had one catch, 1 yard. That's a superstar player. You can't do that. You cannot do that. They ended up going down at the half 20-7 on a touchdown on a slant pass to DeAndre Hopkins. Reggie Nelson blitzed, left Sean Smith on a soft coverage on the outside. I don't know if he was guarding against the fade. He obviously wasn't guarding against the slant because it was just too damn easy. I mean, the Texans didn't really even have to work for this game. It was damn near handed to them, and they almost handed the game back to the Raiders, almost let them back in the second half. But what do you know? Interceptions, turnovers, we can't do that, and the injuries really just started to pile up. Before this game, we had no Derek Carr. He's the only quarterback in NFL history to win 12 games and not take his team to the playoffs. Then we were missing our Pro Bowl left tackle. Donald Penn misses his first ever career game. We've been missing DJ Hayden, one of our best slot cornerbacks, our fastest corner on the team, who would have been a primetime matchup against DeAndre Hopkins. We were missing Lee Smith, our best blocking tight end. Ben Heaney, our starting middle linebacker. Alden Smith never got reinstated by Roger Goodell. And then in the game alone, Carl Joseph dealing with his toe injury. He was on and off the field. Rodney Hudson with his ankle. He was on and off the field. Bruce Irvin had to go to the locker room with a hamstring injury. Malcolm Smith left the game with an ankle injury. Michael Crabtree left the game with a concussion. Just injuries were piling up left and right, and our playmakers were just going down, and there was nothing that we could do about it. And then the second half came along, and it was just even more pathetic added to this pathetic game, because the third quarter had less than 50 total yards of offense from both teams combined, and I felt like I was watching a Niners and Rams game from early in the year, because this was not my Raiders. This was not the high power offense that we've seen. Fourth quarter came around. The Texans get a 7-play, 53-yard drive. It ends up with a phantom PI call, which I don't know how. And once again, the Texans were gifted the ball at the 1-yard line, and Brock Osweiler scrambles for a touchdown. Khalil Mack, who's the only person who was paying attention on that play, picked up the tight end on the flat. I don't even think that was his responsibility, but he just walked into the end zone, and just like that, they're up 27-7. Connor Cook tried to come back, tried to make a little bit of comeback, gets it going, but they were playing a soft defense, had 11 plays, 75 yards, and he was hitting Andre Holmes. This was something I thought we could have seen earlier in the game. Obviously, you got to think, Connor Cook, for the first 15 weeks of the season, he was standing on the sideline in his street clothes holding a clipboard. Donald Penn said last week that was the first time he heard his voice all entire season. He had forgot what he sounded like. So you got to think about, put him in his comfort zone. Give him some of those practice squad wide receivers to play with. Andre Holmes has some of the best hands out of their team. At 6'5", he went up and caught a lot of balls. And I hope that we bring him back as a free agent next year. But that was pretty much the highlight of the game. Connor Cook, Andre Holmes, they connected. They had a touchdown, went down 27-17. The defense comes back, gets a big three and out. But what do you know? Cook letting it fly down the field. Could have got a couple PI calls, which would have extended the drive. No, they weren't called. And on the next throw, he overthrows Amari Cooper, throws an INT, and that pretty much daggers it. The Texans go up, win 27-14 in the closest game of the weekend. Yes, I don't even know how I'm saying that. The game with Connor Cook playing quarterback was the closest game of the weekend. Says something about the wild card weekend. We got teams with 12 wins going on the road to play a team with 9 wins. I'm still not a fan of the seeding, and I don't want to seem like I'm just bitching and complaining because I'm a Raider fan, but I talked about it in the NBA. I don't like the way they set up the playoffs either. They just need to go top teams, 1-8, put them both in. The Raiders could have been playing the Dolphins possibly in Oakland this weekend. I'm not a what-if-er, but we don't know Connor Cook at home. We're just not sure. Things were not together without Derek Carr, with all the injuries. The Raiders were just not there in full force. This wasn't the Raider team that we saw the whole entire year, and Jack Del Rio summed it up perfectly. The Raiders are back, just not back where we want to be.
Raiders back. We're just not back where we want to be yet. Won 12 games. I'm proud of you guys. I'm proud of every guy in here. A lot of effort throughout the year. A lot of commitment. A lot of sacrifice. Hold your head high. Victor, get the spoils. They earned it. They outplayed us tonight. We have no excuses. The one thing I want to see us do what we've done all year is stick together. No excuses and stick together, okay? Got a bright future. It just kind of fell apart for us the last 2 weeks, okay? Because I don't think that's really indicative of who we are. Got a lot of things to look at, a lot of things to evaluate, a lot of things to assess, but we are heading where we need to be heading. And this is just the beginning. Raiders on three. One, two, three. Raiders!
Captain Jack Del Rio said it best. We're back, just not back where we want to be, and I'm proud as hell as I can be as my Raider fan. You got to know through this whole entire podcast, if you've been listening with us the whole entire season, you got to know if you followed me back when I was up at Sonoma State on KSUN Radio on Bay City Sports and Slaps and going through that 0-10, 1-15 season with the Raiders. I've been here with the Raiders the whole entire time since they drafted Max, since they drafted Carr, since they drafted this whole entire nucleus, all these young guys. So I am proud of my team. We won 12 games this year. We won 12 through week 14 with Derek Carr alone, the things that he did. Derek, if he would have stayed healthy, could have been in the MVP conversation. If people are talking about Brady missing four games in the MVP conversation, I still believe that Derek deserves to be in that conversation with the NFL records for most comebacks this year. Everything that he has done, and he has just really carried this franchise and put us on a whole nother level. And then my man Khalil Mack, he was the biggest superstar of this game for the Raiders. If you would have looked at Khalil Mack's box score, you would have thought, hey, maybe the Raiders won. He had 11 tackles, 2 for a loss. There was no answer for him, and he really did neutralize the Texans offense in the second half and gave us a chance to come back. Khalil Mack, Derek Carr, they are the future. Amari Cooper, he finished the game with 2 catches. He was targeted 10 times. I was not impressed by his performance, but he did cut back on the drops this year. Only had 4 drops the whole entire season. I look for him to improve to get better and better. Michael Crabtree's got to cut down with the drops as well. But like I mentioned, Michael Crabtree and Amari Cooper are the first Raider wide receivers to both have 1,000 yards in a season since Tim Brown and Jerry Rice. I mean, I'm over here just struggling, just trying to find 1,000-yard wide receiver growing up with the Raiders. But, I mean, I'm proud of this Raiders team. I'm proud of our young guys. We got 7 guys heading to the Pro Bowl. I'm sure Derek won't play, so there should be 6 representing the Raiders. Everything that we've done the whole entire year, I mentioned it, Derek Carr in the MVP category. Khalil Mack is my pick for Defensive Player of the Year. He ends the season with 11 sacks, 54 tackles, a pick 6, and he truly was a game changer, force fumble machine. He would strip sack quarterbacks left and right. He's my pick for Defensive Player of the Year. Jack Del Rio's up there for Coach of the Year also. Man, we just got a great young nucleus. I'm pretty sure we are one of the youngest overall rosters in the NFL still, so we got a lot of young pieces to build around. Reggie McKenzie has done a fantastic job since taking over for the late Al Davis. He has been hitting on draft picks left and right. His free agents have been pretty good on the top level, and ever since he's come back and came to this franchise, I didn't really like the Dennis Allen at first, but it was more of a stopgap. He cleared all of our money, cleared all of our cap space, got us picks. He's going to have us money to keep Carr, keep Mack, keep Cooper, keep our players, because that's that philosophy that comes from that Packers GM system, from that Ron Wolf tree. And he has done everything correctly. And since he hired Jack Del Rio, Reggie McKenzie and Jack Del Rio have lived by the motto: you're going to lose big, you're going to lose close, you're going to win close, and then you're going to win big. And those are the keys of a successful franchise, because you got to go through the process. Obviously, Derek Carr and Khalil Mack started off their careers going 0-10 before getting their taste of victory in the NFL. That was the losing big. Last year, the Raiders ended the season 7-9 and had a lot of games that we could have won, but we let it got away. That was losing close. This year, what do you know? Derek Carr breaks the record for most fourth quarter comeback touchdown passes thrown. That's winning close. I think we're going to get that step next year of winning big and blowing teams out, because with all the pieces that we have on our offense, we could be one of the highest scoring offenses in the NFL. We could be up there with the Pittsburgh Steelers, with the Atlanta Falcons, with those top tier offenses. I really think that we have all the pieces, because with Bill Musgrave now being relieved from his duties, that's a whole nother story we can get into. I didn't like his play calls for Connor Cook this whole entire game at all. It was obvious that we were running the ball straight up the middle on every single first down and all these screen passes, didn't push the field. But that's been Bill Musgrave all year. Never pushed the ball down the field unless we needed to. With Derek Carr, Amari Cooper, Michael Crabtree, all these weapons we have, we shouldn't have needed to have Derek Carr throw 5 game-winning touchdown passes. We should have been blowing these teams out. And that was the problem with Bill Musgrave. He got way too conservative in any game that we had a lead and let teams come back. And what do you know? All of a sudden, we're in a shootout. I look for that to improve next year. We let go of our defensive backfield coach. Kent Norton is going to stay around. Hey, Kent Norton, your number has got to improve. The turnover number differential is great. Don't get me wrong. It's absolutely great. But where was it in the playoffs? Where was it when you need it? You can't just rely on turnovers when the other team is playing everything they can to just keep the ball safe. There's just too many big plays. Kent Norton's got to figure out something and really try to get that Seattle defense implemented in Oakland if we want any success. But the bottom line is, Raider fans, 12 wins this year. Return to greatness. You can even say it. I don't care because we're back in relevance. I mean, for the first time since I can remember, I've had people saying, man, I don't want to play the Raiders this year. I don't want to play them in the playoffs. They look like a force. And for the first time, and I don't know how long, even everybody on ESPN, the talking heads were saying, hey, the Raiders might be able to be that team to take out the Patriots. The Raiders have the talent to make a Super Bowl run. So that makes me feel great. And it knows that we got a great future ahead of us. In Reggie, we trust. Thank you, Base Car. Khalil Mack for president. The Raiders, I'm with you 24/7. Win, lose, or tie. Raider till I die.
Now back to the Niner fan. I only got a couple points to say. First, Connor Cook, no blame should be on you whatsoever. That's just, first off, no matter what, any person with real football knowledge will know that there's going to be an asterisk on this Raiders season no matter what, because Derek Carr was killing it. And as you said, they are a high-powered offense. I believe they've gone over 500 yards more than once this season, and Derek Carr was a big reason for that. I believe they got 600 one game. So that just shows that this offense almost can get 1,000 yards at any point on any game if they're up to it and they're playing well. And once Derek went down, that was bad, and then McGloin not playing, and then Connor Cook coming in. The worst thing for Connor Cook was the best thing he had was his line to protect him, and then you lose two starters, two Pro Bowlers, especially one at the left tackle, and you have Jadeveon Clowney playing the best football of his career, and he is just bull rushing. His stats don't show it. He only had one tackle all game, had that pick, and he was just creating a lot of havoc, allowing other people to get those sacks. Connor Cook was sacked a few times in that game, and he was just getting pressured the entire time. And as you said, Marcus, they stacked the box because they knew how bad they got ran on last time by the three-headed monster in the backfield. And they just had no room to work with because they don't have Derek in the back. They don't have that car to hit clutch and just get them to the point where they need to be and have the chemistry with these people, because Connor Cook doesn't have the reps. He doesn't know where Clyde Walford is going to be and when Clyde Walford knows he's going to be there, like Derek Carr would always find him. But this team had chances to win. The turnovers were available, just not recovered. The muffed punt, that was a big one. I almost thought that could have been the game changer to put you in that field position. Because as you said, that Jadeveon Clowney interception and how they got the first 10 points was off one play. That's stupid. That should never, ever happen. And that's the difference that I've said all year. There's a difference between throwing it just a regular interception or throwing a bad interception. And Connor Cook, the first interception to Jadeveon Clowney, but which I completely agree, horrible play calling. Three of the same plays in a row when all you got was 1 yard the entire time from Amari Cooper. Jadeveon read that, and he got it. That was an amazing play by him. You got to give it to him for turning around, keeping his balance, and getting it, especially for a big boy like that. But Brock Osweiler, still not sold on him, honestly. He did not have that great of a game. But the one thing, like I said last week, is for the Texans to win, they're going to need to go back to where they started the season off. That is, need to get DeAndre Hopkins involved, who got a touchdown, which seems like he's getting one every 6 weeks because Brock Osweiler throws more interceptions than touchdowns and can't find him, and he's thrown the most interceptions when targeting DeAndre Hopkins, which blows my mind because that's your best receiver. So how bad are you throwing the balls? And for Osweiler, only 168 yards, 14 for 25, and one TD, and he ran for one, but he only found four receivers all game. So how much can he disperse the ball when it comes down to a team that's completely healthy coming into the next round? Because four receivers the entire game is not going to cut it on any level. And Lamar Miller had 31 carries. That's why I said last week he is going to be the X factor. Yes, he only had 71 yards and a TD, but those carries count, and they ate up clock. And you said this wasn't the Raiders that we've seen all year. But like I said, the penalties, that is what has happened all year. The most penalized team in the NFL, and it was hurting when you're already playing from behind before the game even starts because the other team's completely healthy and you have your starting quarterback out, your first two-string quarterback. And as you said, you were telling me earlier, Michael Crabtree was your third-string quarterback for the game and he got concussed. Imagine what could have happened. But the Raiders should not hold their heads down. They got screwed. It's the NFL. Injury just came at a terrible time and it happened to be on an incredible season, an MVP caliber season 100%, because if you see where this team was last year, below 500 compared to any other team whose quarterbacks are in the conversation, this man is killing it and he's doing it with less weapons than anybody else. His weapons only look like weapons now because of what he's done. And as you said, those late game heroics, there could have been another one this game. You don't even know. Derek Carr has played amazing in the fourth quarter and it seems like everybody plays for him. That's why. And I felt so bad for Connor Cook getting stuck in that position, especially when you lose two Pro Bowlers on that offensive line, which was your only hope to give you some extra time. Once that pressure started coming in, Latavius Murray, their leading rusher, with only 39 yards off 12 carries, and his longest one was 18. So that means off 11, he only got 21. So that just shows that once they started stuffing the box, it really was not opening up, even with the one-on-one coverage, because Jonathan Joseph was playing out of his mind. Leading tackler, he had 10. He was D'ing up Crabtree. But for me, the Raiders really could have taken over this game. When they were down 10-0, Rashard gets that long punt return, sets him up. They go in the no huddle. Connor Cook never looked so comfortable. And they drove down easily, got that touchdown, and they forced another three and out. Went back. They were continuing their drives. And then that throw to Michael Crabtree, that to me ruined Connor Cook's morale in a sense, but also confidence, just because he was rolling when he was passing the ball and not even having to worry about, oh, I got to give the rush, I got to do the play action, I got to worry about this. He was just playing how he's known how to play his entire career, and they were just dropping balls, and you can't do anything about that. He was putting some balls were terrible, but some balls were right in the numbers. And you're a professional wide receiver like Crabtree, you're getting paid millions of dollars. This is the playoffs, man. You got to make that catch. And trust me, I'm a Niner fan. I remember when you missed that catch against Sherman. And now I know for a fact it wasn't his defense.
That's right. Michael Crabtree, one of the leading wide receivers in the NFL in drops this year. And that was a huge part of it. Connor Cook, like I said, you got to be realistic about it. Rookie quarterback, first start ever on the playoffs in a row against a top-tier defense. You can't put too much blame on the kid. We couldn't get anything going. There was no momentum. Bill Musgrave's bad play calling along with the drops, along with the penalties, along with the injuries, and it was a recipe for disaster for the Raiders as we lost to the Houston Texans 27-14. And now the Texans get to go into Foxborough and play the Patriots. Gross.
At the end of the day, though, you got to show respect to the Bay, because honestly, besides me and you, I know we predicted them having an amazing season, but still, watching those games every week and the way they completed those games, I cannot wait to see Derek Carr healthy next year with this squad again, because best believe I could see them ending up number one in the AFC with Tom Brady becoming 40.
Yes, Derek Carr, the team is completely different with, and I mentioned the third quarter of this game, there's 50 yards of total offense between both teams. I was falling asleep watching the Raiders. That doesn't happen when I watch the Raiders. It's a playoff game. I was supposed to be juiced, but we know that we got next year to look forward to. The Raiders will be sitting with the 24th overall draft pick, try to add some pieces to the puzzle. At the end of the day, Raider fans, this is the Bay's golden days. I had the Raiders going 11-5 this year. At the end, 12-5. Harneet had them in double-digit wins. No one would have expected that except for the two Bay kids right here. So you know what it is. Bay's golden days. But don't worry. Just because the Raiders and 49ers seasons are both over, the Bay's golden days is still going to be here covering every week of playoffs, the Super Bowl, everything from around the world, because we talk about all sports here on the Bay's Golden Days. So let's go ahead and check out how these games are going to play out in the NFL division round. Here's the preview in 60 seconds.
Time to preview a divisional round of rematches by looking back at the regular season matchups in 60 seconds. Here we go. To week 6, Atlanta at Seattle. And have you heard the Seahawks have a good defense? Matt Ryan has. Also, they like to run the football. A lot. But you just knew the Falcons would come back and take the lead.
Touchdown, Falcons!
Torlolo, you so. Though in the end, it was Seattle jonesing for a tip drill pick and Hauschka kick to get the win. To week 3 in Foxborough, where no Tom Brady was no problem.
For the touchdown.
Well, Houston had some problems. And so did Kansas City in Pittsburgh in week 4. More like 5 problems. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
DJ White getting taken to the cleaners.
Finally, back to Week 6 in Green Bay, hosting the boys, where it was Beasley, Butler, and Beasley.
It was too easy for Prescott and Beasley.
So, will the regular season winners win again? Can anybody beat Tom Brady? Will we see more Zeke leaps? The divisional round is coming up.
That's right, the divisional matchup is coming up, but you know what it is. This is the Bay's Golden Days. You know how we do every preview with a little bit of straight cash, homie. So, Randy.
Straight cash, homie.
That's right, straight cash, homie. The NFL Divisional Playoff Edition. Only 4 games this week, same as last week. I went 3-for-4. Hardy went 3-for-4. You just had to do a pick against the Raiders, you asshole. But we both went 3-for-4, and let's see how we pan out this week. The first game of the week on Saturday is the Falcons hosting the Seahawks in ATL. The Falcons are 4.5-point favorites. This is an interesting one because Seattle actually won their matchup in Week 6, 26-24. But as you might remember, that play ended in a little bit of controversy on a no-call pass interference call. That's right, Richard Sherman had Julio Jones' arm pinned down so he couldn't even try to make a catch. But Matt Ryan, MVP. That's right. Matt Ryan's my MVP candidate. He threw for 335 yards, 3 touchdowns against the Legion of Boom with Earl Thomas. So you want to talk about putting up elite stats? He did that on a healthy Legion of Boom. And so the real matchup this game is going to be Julio Jones versus Richard Sherman. And I want to see Bobby Wagner, see how he matches up with Tevin Coleman and Devontae Freeman, how they match up with the running backs coming out of the backfield. The Falcons have been resting. They should be ready to go, all tuned up. Julio is healthy. He is looking nice. The Seahawks on the other side, we saw this last week. They finally got their run game going with mini beast mode, Thomas Rawls. I really want to see if CJ Procise is going to be back this week. He was huge in the last couple games of the season before he got hurt. I mentioned it. He was a wide receiver slash running back at Notre Dame. He is a mismatch nightmare out of the backfield. And then we're going to see Jimmy Graham. Harney's been mentioning it all year. Hell, I've been mentioning it since the beginning of the year when I was calling out people for not even drafting Jimmy Graham in fantasy drafts. What the hell are you doing, you fucking casuals? He's Jimmy fucking Graham. Jimmy Graham is going to be huge this game. He's going to be matched up against Keanu Neal, the rookie safety out of Florida. He has been playing great this year, been right up there with Carl Joseph, one of the best young defensive backs in the game. We're going to see how he lines up against Jimmy Graham. Obviously, there's a little bit of mismatch inside, but that matchup's going to be huge. And then the Seattle Seahawks offensive line. We see him be able to run the ball a little bit last week, but that's been the case for Russell Wilson, the scrambler man for his life. We know he's 5'10". We know he likes to move around in the pocket so he can find his wide receivers. But this offensive line versus Vic Beasley. Vic Beasley has been on an absolutely tear this year, sacking quarterbacks left and right. I look for Vic Beasley to have a huge day in Atlanta, and I'm taking the Falcons minus the 4.5-point spread.
This is actually going to be a really tough one to decide on just because somehow the Falcons, just like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, have not that great of a home record. They're only 5-3 at home. So the majority of their losses, because they only lost 5 all year, came here. And that's what confuses me just because the Seattle Seahawks are rolling right now. They must have momentum after last game, especially the way their defense performed against a Matthew Stafford Lions team who was doing well until they lost against the Packers in Week 17. So for me, Seattle Seahawks, they only can rely on their run game, as you're saying, Thomas Rawls and Precise, but at the end of the day, one of them is going to be needed to ball out, and I just don't see it happening 2 times in a row, Thomas Rawls going off for that much, because this defense is a lot different than that Giants defense, and as you said, they're going to need to pick the right plays on defense. The defensive coordinator is going to need to figure it out, because they need to switch it up, because Jimmy Graham is a mismatch for anybody, and if you let the Seattle Seahawks backfield get open with those one-on-one coverage with the linebackers, it's going to be bad. They're going to be able to get open, because that's a mismatch for anybody, so that's why they need to force Russell Wilson to win the game himself with his arm, because that is his only true test, because that's one thing that's always been question mark. You know he can scramble. You know nobody even sees him when the line's rushing. They just see him pop out. They're like, oh shit, we got to start going. And then he ends up finding the ball. No disrespect to him, but I just don't think he's an elite quarterback that can get it done in the air with a 3 TD game and no interceptions, because you know Matt Ryan's going to go off. And best believe that he's going to be finding every receiver. He don't care who it is. And Tevin Coleman could end up being that number one guy, and Julio might only catch one, and they still might put up 30. I just don't think the Seahawks have enough offensive power to keep up with the Falcons, especially with a week off.
Yeah, a week off. This Falcons team is healthy. Their offensive line has improved so much this year, so they could have a chance against this Legion of Boom. And I mentioned it, no Earl Thomas. You see what Matt Ryan did against
the Legion of Boom with Earl Thomas. I think that's a huge factor. The Seahawks have been playing hurry. Obviously, the Tyler Lockett injury added on. It will be huge if they get C.J. Procise back this week. But no matter what, it should be an interesting game in Atlanta. The Seahawks got to leave the 12th man behind. They've won 10 straight at home. But here's an interesting fact. In those first 5 years that Russell Wilson has made the playoffs, he's reached the NFC Championship 4 times. He's 2-0 at home, 0-2 on the road. He'll have to go into Atlanta and try to dethrone a potential MVP, Matt Ryan. We'll see if he can get it done. They sure do have the experience with this Seattle Seahawks dynasty, but we'll see how it ends up. But if we're going to talk about dynasties, you guys can't see this because it's a podcast, but I'm out here giving air quotes. I'm talking about the New England Patriots. I don't want to call them a dynasty because Tom Brady is, I mean, he's a great guy. Don't get me wrong. He's a great quarterback, probably one of the greatest of all times, but I still cannot stand that motherfucker. It was a fumble. I'm going to go down to my death. You can write it on my grave. The Tuck Rule. Tom Brady, you owe everything in life to Charles Woodson. But into this game, Tom Brady will be taking on the Texans without J.J. Watt. The only big problem he'll have to face is Jadeveon Clowney. This is the number one defense in the NFL, the number one defense left in the playoffs, and they're giving the Patriots a 16.5-point spread. 16.5. What are we, college football? This is supposed to be a divisional round for playoffs. 16.5 points. But, I mean, I guess it makes sense when the Patriots already beat the Texans in week 3 with no Tom Brady, not even Jimmy Garoppolo. It was Jacoby Brissett who threw for 100 yards and still got the win somehow. LeGarrette Blount had a big game that day. He had 105 yards, 2 touchdowns, and as a team, the Patriots ran for 185 yards. Obviously, this Texans defense is going to have to step up. Jadeveon Clowney try to have a big game, but we've seen it before. Bill Belichick has completely taken J.J. Watt out of the game plan. Bill Belichick not only takes your best player out on offense, he'll go after him on defense too. So Whitney Mercer is going to have to step up. They're going to have to try to get some turnovers, create some problems, because Brock Osweiler and Foxborough, I don't think they got any chance in hell. I'm pretty sure the Montreal Canadiens have won more games in Foxborough than the Texans have won in their franchise. They got no chance. I will take the Patriots, but I don't like this 16-point spread at all. I mean, this is just purely insult to the Texans. I mean, I don't want to bet on Brock Osweiler, but this defense to keep it in within 16.5 points, I think that is a smarter bet. They've been insulted the whole entire week. No one's even given them a chance. Hopefully this Texans defense comes out and plays fired up. It should be a win for the Patriots, but I'm not going with the 16.5 points.
Yeah, I'm completely with you. That's ridiculous. It's more than 2 touchdowns, and this is a goddamn playoff game. Winner goes to the AFC Championship game. This is supposed to be a good competitive matchup, but sorry, Texans, you guys aren't going to do shit against Tom Brady. Tom Brady has an entire week to prepare for you. And Bill Belichick, for him, that's like a whole month. Especially because he knows, as you said, Marcus, he's going to take your best player out. It's like what he did week 17, took Jay Ajayi out. And I guarantee the Steelers are like, that's what we need to do. And that's what they did. And if they take Jadeveon Clowney out from that rush, the other side is not as strong. And they cannot get to Tom Brady because they're going to definitely need the backfield of the Patriots are going to be put up for blocking a lot. And they best believe that they're going to be blocking and then dipping out for a quick little pass. And I guarantee you Tom Brady's going to find him. But my X factor this game, because I know Brady loves him, especially in the playoffs, Julian Edelman. Watch for that man to get active. I guarantee he will be the leading reception leader for the Patriots. And I see them winning, but 16.5 is a lot. That's 17 points because that half, you can't take that. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, even though they beat him in week 3, 27-0, this is playoff football. The Texans are playing as a whole nother team. I mean, you don't even know what to expect. 1 week they lose to Matt Castle. The next week they come back and beat the Raiders in the playoffs. You don't know what you get with the Texans.
16.5, it's like a spread between Alabama versus San Jose State. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, it is purely pathetic. But let's move on from the Saturday night game and let's get to Sunday, because Sunday, there's no bad games. We got the Steelers, Chiefs, Cowboys, Packers starting off Sunday morning. We got the Steelers and the Chiefs. This game will take place in Arrowhead. The Steelers already made slight work of the Chiefs earlier in the season, beating them 43-14. Yes, you heard that right. I'm not talking about a preseason score or nothing. The Steelers beat the Chiefs 43-14. It was in week 4. Obviously, this is a whole nother Chiefs team. But man, oh man, that is the game that the juice got loose. Le'Veon Bell, it was his first game of the season. He ran 18 times for 144 yards, added 34 yards receiving to the total. Ben Roethlisberger came out on fire. He threw 4 touchdowns in the first half of that game. In total, he threw for 300 yards. 5 touchdowns, ended the game 22 of 27 completion. This man was on fire. He was hitting Sammy Coates for 6 catches, 79 yards on a deep bomb, and even Antonio Brown had 2 touchdowns, and there was no stopping the Pittsburgh Steelers in this first game. And you know what was the big key to that success? The Kansas City Chiefs turned the ball over, something I've been harping on all year. The Chiefs have been winning games by getting pick sixes, special team touchdowns, and Alex Smith being a game manager. Well, in this game against the Steelers, they came and turned the ball over quick. Alex Smith threw an interception. They had a couple fumbles, and the Steelers just took a hold of it. It should be a very interesting matchup. The Steelers are actually the underdog on the road. They started out as a favorite, but hey, the money will go certain ways. The Steelers plus 1 point are the underdog in this game. Le'Veon Bell, Ben Roethlisberger, Antonio Brown. I mentioned it. It's the first time they're playing in the playoffs together. As good as this defense is for the Chiefs, they are going to have some trouble slowing them down, especially when the Steelers are playing this hot, this well. They've won 8 straight games now. It should be a very interesting matchup, especially when you got to take in consideration that Andy Reid is coming off a bye. Andy Reid is now 18-2 all times coming off of byes, including the regular season, obviously. We'll see what he's got in store. Andy Reid, in my opinion, is one of the best coaches. I was pissed when he left Philadelphia and came to Kansas City. He's one of the best coaches in the league, so he's going to be trying to think up every defensive scheme, trying to slow down the Steelers and anything they can do on offense to use their weapons to try to put up points and match touchdown for touchdown. With these Steelers, I think the biggest factor in this game might be Tyreek Hill, the speedster, the 4-2 man himself. He was not a factor in this first game at all. And then Travis Kelce, him and Alex Smith have had the connection all year. I've mentioned it. Alex Smith hasn't even thrown an interception when he's targeting Travis Kelce. It's going to be up to Ryan Shazier, see if he can be keeping up with Kelce this weekend. Him and Artie Burns, the rookie safety, might be helping over the top. If they can shut down Kelce, they got a chance to shut down this offense. And then on the other side of the ball, I want to see Marcus Peters versus Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown had 2 touchdowns the first time. We'll see if Marcus Peters can bounce back. The kid from Oakland, town kid, can you represent from the Bay? No, I don't want you because you're playing for Kansas City. You're playing for the wrong team, but that's going to be one hell of a matchup. And then Le'Veon Bell, who's going to stop him? Eric Berry, he might come down in the safety, try to stack the box, try to help him out a lot. This defense is great. Playing in Arrowhead, the crowd is going to be electric. One of the loudest stadiums in the NFL. One of the top defenses in the NFL. Justin Houston's going to be healthy. He's going to be playing. D Ford is healthy. They're going to try to go after an immobile Ben Roethlisberger. But at the end of the day, I'm taking the business that's been booming for the last 8 straight weeks, and I'm taking the Steelers plus 1 to get the job done and win in Kansas City.
I definitely don't expect this game to be anything like the game in week 4, just because this team is completely different at this point. They started off 2-2, and we didn't think that was going to happen, especially the way they performed last season, and then they picked it up going 10-2 for the rest of the season. And it was that loss against Seattle, I think, that gave them the spark plug, like, guys, what are you doing? We're not this bad. We just got murdered away from home and in a way that should never happen. You lost by 30 with that defense. That defense is talented enough. They should not be giving up 40 points. But now you have Big Ben, Le'Veon Bell, who's now got the ultimate amount of reps in with like 12, 13 weeks. Big Ben is going to be giving it to him. And Antonio Brown, I just don't see the Chiefs being able to stop, because once another person besides those two go off, what are you going to do about the play action? How do you stop that? And when Le'Veon can still rush it, even if you do stack the box, because he follows his blocks and is so patient and then hits the burners. And then just watch out for the little pass block and then dip out, like I was saying about Tom Brady and his backfield for this upcoming game. But as you said, the only factor that makes me so, I'm so indecisive about this game, just because that Andy Reid, 18-2 when he comes off the bye week. Yep. And that is a statistic you cannot take lightly. Like, people might take that lightly, but you cannot. You have to know that this man is 18-2 for a goddamn reason. This man does his homework, and he makes sure that his team does their homework, because this is a big game. The Chiefs have not done well. They've been making the playoffs consecutively in these seasons, and they don't do well. They always end up folding because, sad to say it, Alex Smith, you cannot play that little just short pass game in the playoffs, because you're going to end up facing great teams. And this Steelers team is rolling, and they are going to keep rolling, because nobody can stop Le'Veon. I really don't think anybody can stop him.
Exactly. Andy Reid is a huge factor in this game, one of the best coaches in the NFL, but he's not had too much playoff success, which is one of the reasons why the Eagles got rid of him in the first place. And we all remember what happened last year when the Chiefs had a huge lead against the Colts in the wild card weekend. What do you know? Andrew Luck and the Colts come back on a heroic comeback. Well, guess what? Andrew Luck and the Colts don't have nearly the amount of weapons that Big Ben Roethlisberger has. So if Roethlisberger, Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell, even if they're losing in this game, they still got a chance because that's the thing. Alex Smith, the ultimate game manager. Is he going to make a play to seal the game, or is he going to go three and out trying to run the ball, three and out trying to run the ball, three and out trying to run the ball, and all of a sudden they got to punt it back to Ben Roethlisberger, give him the ball with the game on the line. I'm putting my money on the Steelers and the MVP quarterback himself, Ben Roethlisberger, every time.
And I just don't think that if the ball ends up coming in his hand, in Alex Smith's hand on the last drive of the game, he has to make a two-minute drill. I don't even think that he could even get his team in the position to get a field goal in the time that's taken. And that's saying I'm going to give them the three timeouts on that. I just don't think that he has the accuracy and the reps for the entire season to make a long ball throw. He always makes it short and expects the running game to get it going and just slow pace, just eat up the clock, slow, just hard rush. I just don't see it happening unless Travis Kelce goes for 200.
Yeah, Kelce has to have a big day. That's for sure. We'll see what Shazier and that defense has to say about it, but this should be a great game to kick off our Sunday, and then we'll move on to Sunday night where we get another Super Bowl winning quarterback playing, and that's Aaron Rodgers taking on the Dallas Cowboys in Dallas. The Cowboys actually won the first game in week 6 of this year in Lambeau, 30-16, and that was without Dez Bryant. But this late in the year, I think it would have been almost beneficial if this game would have been in Lambeau, because obviously the Cowboys are more of a run the ball type of team, and Aaron Rodgers throwing in those conditions. Now he'll be in a dome in Jerry World with mint perfect conditions, and he will be able to throw as much as he wants, because I've mentioned it over these last 7 games: 167 of 240, 2,029 yards, 19 touchdowns, and 0 interception. This man, Aaron Rodgers, they were asking him last year, what's wrong? Hey, you just got to relax. This year, what's wrong? Hey, it's all good. We're about to run the table. And look at him now. He is running the table. He has been brand new Aaron Rodgers. I don't even want to say brand new. He has just been rediscovered Aaron Rodgers and really back playing at that MVP level. My biggest question in this game is Jordy Nelson, who has been obviously my comeback player of the year this year. We saw last year Rodgers struggle. This year, he's got Jordy Nelson breaking open, getting open every single game, leading the NFL in touchdown receptions. Man, I really want to see Jordy play. He left the game with 2 fractured ribs. Their game plan is to let him rest all week up until Friday and then maybe see if he can practice Saturday. If he practices Saturday, he's got a chance to play. If he doesn't practice Saturday, he's not playing. So a lot of this game, in my opinion, rides on Jordy Nelson and his high power offense, because they haven't been running the ball too great. They're using Ty Montgomery nicely out of the backfield. They'll try to mismatch him up against some of the linebackers, but Sean Lee is a speedster, one of the best linebackers in the league. I think he should be able to match up with him pretty well. But the thing is, to me, can the rookies continue to have success? I mentioned it. Dak Prescott, Ezekiel Elliott have been carrying this team all year long. And for the most part, it's been Ezekiel Elliott and that offensive line. Offensive lineman Tyron Smith should be in the MVP conversation, in my opinion. They have been eaten. When Zeke faced them the first time, the Packers were quote unquote the number one rushing defense in the NFL. Well, they met the number one NFL rusher, because Zeke ate that game, 28 carries for 157 yards. And that's got to be the Cowboys' success in this game. They got to just feed that man the ball at least 30 times and just eat. And you got to be eating at the clock, Zeke, because the best defense is your offense when you're playing against Aaron Rodgers. You got to win that time of possession battle and keep Aaron Rodgers off the field. Because if you turn into a shootout with Aaron Rodgers, man, that is not good news for you. And I'm interested to see if that is the way that this does play out. Because if you see Aaron Rodgers putting up points, Dak Prescott, the rookie in the playoff. We know he's playing in a big stage in Dallas, but now we're playing in playoff football. It'll be interesting what the rookie does. As I mentioned, Dez didn't play in that first game. Dak might try to be a little hero, play a little bit of hero ball, force the ball to Dez. He did throw his first interception of the season against the Packers this year. Also had a fumble that game. So he had 2 turnovers. The Cowboys still won. But if it comes down to a late game situation, I'm not taking Dak over Aaron Rodgers. And the big thing to me is the Cowboys have been resting, which you might say, which is great. The Cowboys are probably the only team in the playoffs who are 100% healthy. They've been resting players for seems like weeks now. But are they going to be too cold? Because it seems now that the Cowboys team hasn't played a full game in nearly a month. It took the fourth quarter off in week 15. It took the second half off in week 16. And then only played 1 drive in week 17. And then you get a bye week. So that's nearly a month where your starters have not played a full game. It worries me. And then I just got a gut feeling this game is going to come down to the fourth quarter, and it's going to be Aaron Rodgers. And I'm not taking Dak Prescott over Aaron Rodgers, because, you know, Dak could throw one up, but it could be Dez dropped it. Hashtag Descott. We just don't know at the end of the day, the Cowboys will try to get some revenge, but I've been saying it all year long. I'm not going to pick against Aaron Rodgers and the points, so give me the Packers plus 4.5 points in Dallas.
And that loss by the Packers earlier, the Cowboys were rolling. Nobody knew the Cowboys were going to do this. They were shocking the entire league. Nobody expected two rookies to do what they were doing, and I completely agree, but I would not give the only one person on that offensive line the MVP. I would say you need to share. Give every man a piece because they all deserve it, and don't give Jerry anything because at the end of the day, his son made those calls and got that line to be where it is, and he's taking all the credit. But for me, the way Aaron Rodgers is playing, I think he's going to air it out. The only losses the Cowboys had all season were against the Giants. Aaron Rodgers just murdered that defense to a whole nother level. I bet they are watching the film, both games where the Cowboys lost. I guarantee they're watching and seeing the schemes the Giants used to mess with Dak and get in his head and help stuff that line because Dak, he doesn't make mistakes. That's the thing. So it's going to be hard to get yourself in good field position just from a turnover because he doesn't make a lot, and that's going to be the key because if anybody's going to make a mistake out of the rookie, it's going to be Dak. I see Zeke. Zeke is going to run, and I see him still getting over a Bill rushing on the ground because that line is unstoppable. He's going to get the biggest holes, and he's probably going to get 5 yards every goddamn carry, and if they feed him 30 times, he might even get that 150 mark easily, probably 200 because we've seen him do it already, and this man finds the end zone every goddamn time, and that's going to be the thing. But Aaron Rodgers is playing so well, he can put up points in a second. Hail Marys any second, and he's playing in a dome. No wind factors, no nothing. Mason Crosby has a good leg. This is going to be a great game, and it's going to be high scoring. But I got to go with the Packers. I just feel Aaron Rodgers right now, and as you said, all year, with the points, it's hard not to say go Pack, go. And especially because I know they sucked real bad. They had that little span where Aaron Rodgers was sleeping on the couch. Olivia Munn wouldn't let him sleep in the bed. And now he's back in that bed getting some, and he is eating because look at them. Look at him. These numbers that he's putting up in these past few weeks are ridiculous because all the games have mattered. If they lost one of those games, they would have been knocked out of the playoffs. And that's what's crazy. You don't really think about that in week 12 or week 13, but I know he was thinking about it, especially a team who came in this season with the weakest opponent schedule, and they were favored in every single game. Vegas odds had them going 16-0. What happened? 10-6. Those losses started piling up, and then they turned it around because this man is taking control. No run game. Turned Davante Adams into a star. Randall Cobb just had a revival in the playoffs. I had him on my fantasy team, and I was pissed. He probably had only 3 TDs all season. So for me, he is getting everybody involved that he knows he needs to get involved. And once he starts going, the running game will find itself because they're not going to be able to stack that box. And they're going to have to be worried. And then the play action, it's just going to be dirty with him in a dome. It's Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, it's Aaron Rodgers, and as good as his Dallas defense has been playing, they will be at full strength. But it's Aaron Rodgers, for God's sakes. I can't just pick against him like that.
And this defense, even with all their people back, they're still not good as the Giants, and he ripped them up.
Yeah, that's an absolutely great point. They're still nowhere near what the Giants defense was supposed to do. The NYPD, well, if the New York Pass Department, whatever the hell they're calling themselves, they couldn't stop Aaron Rodgers. I don't think the Cowboys got a chance as well. That's the thing. They got to run the ball with Zeke. If they can keep the lead the whole entire game and just run the clock, they might got a chance. But if it comes down to a shootout between Rodgers and Dak, I'm sticking with the discount double check every single day of the week. And that means that's the conclusion of Straight Cash, homie. We got a discount double check all of our picks in the AFC Championship game. The Bay's Golden Days got the Patriots taking on the Steelers. And in the NFC Championship game, the Bay's Golden Days got the Falcons taking on the Packers in a shootout between potential MVPs. Man, if this plays out, we'll have Ben Roethlisberger versus Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers versus Matt Ryan. You want to talk about a weekend of football? Those would be two amazing championship games. We'll see what happens. Just like I said earlier, just because the Raiders are done, just because the Niners have been done, doesn't mean that the Bay's Golden Days is going to stop covering football. We'll be back next week to break down all of these matchups. Then we'll be back to break down the Super Bowl. And then we even got the NBA All-Star break coming up. So, you know, we'll have to break down everything that's been going on with the Warriors, everything that's been going on with Westbrook, Harden, LeBron, the Greek Freak, all the news stories in the NBA. We're going to cover them all. You know what it is, the Bay's Golden Days. Thank you for tuning in and listening. You can continue to download and subscribe on iTunes and Google Play. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Bay's Golden Days. And we just want to say thank you again. And to all the Raider fans out there, here are our Raiders thanking you for being fans of the nation.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Raider Nation.
Shout out to Raider Nation.
What's up, Raider Nation?
Shout out to Raider Nation.
And thank you for all the support that you've given us.
And we just look forward to your continued support.
Shout out to y'all, man, the best fans of football. Thanks for holding it down always.
Thank you for coming out each and every Sunday.
Love y'all's support. Keep cheering us on, man.
Winning championships and building a legacy.
Raider Nation, you're the best.
It's more of a family.
I love you, Raider Nation.
I thank you for all the support. We thank you. Keep on coming out here and supporting and being loud for us.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
You know what it is. Bay's Golden Days.
Sold it, sold it, sold it, sold it.
Mr. Eddie Gold, Pony Boy.